Gucci. Hey, y'all. Mike Missanelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades, the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. It's Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia, broadcasting the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. A lot of stuff to sort out today, as we are in a rather controversial area here with the injury to Carson Wentz. And I will just try to give you my information. I can't discredit nor credit anybody else's information. It's their information. It's their sources. We all talk to people. We all think we have good sources. We all try to have good sources. We all try to be careful with what we put out there based on who we talk to. At least I try to do that as a journalist for much of my life. So my information is such. This is the definite that Carson Wentz now has what's called a compression fracture. It's kind of like on the same lines as a stress fracture. They call it a compression fracture when it's in the back area in a vertebra. I believe it's lower in his back. And he has been ruled out by the medical staff for the rest of the year. So you're not going to see him the rest of the year. I think that information came to me solidly that they've decided to shut him down for the rest of the year. Now, number two. He has been suffering from back issues for several weeks now. The information that Schefter put out that this compression fracture was revealed in a recent MRI / CAT scan may be true. I don't know. I can just say that if you complain about back issues, that it seems very unlikely they wouldn't do the MRI CAT scan when you were complaining about it. But it's possible that this past week exacerbated the situation to the point where this back pain, whatever it was, turned into this compression factor. I don't know if that's really the issue here. You can play with a compression fracture. And so my information is that in no way was any information withheld from anybody. And the information that we're talking about that was on the previous show reported by Jason Martinez was that the doctors did not report it to the Eagles. The Eagles did not tell the patient. Whatever was reported, that is not my information. That the Eagles have known about this, that the player has known about this, and they've decided to suck it up and try to play with it. And so it makes sense that the compression fracture would have happened recently, as Schefter pointed out. That they finally decided to do all this preparation, CAT scan, MRI, and shut him down for the year. That is possible. But you have to understand that, and I'll just comment on, if it happened the way it was reported in our previous show, that you're talking about very respected professionals, and in the case of the Eagles, they have a spine doctor on staff who's one of the top five spine doctors maybe in the world, to not alert the team on findings that you come up with would be malpractice. And no doctor, in my view, would ever lay himself out for that kind of a charge. Nor do I believe would an organization do that as well, because then you are opening yourself up to multi-million-dollar lawsuits by player association, by the player itself. It's a version of fraud. So your organization, you can't do that either. So that's why I have a hard. My information does not say that happens. All right. Now, I'm not saying it didn't happen, because like I said, I respect everybody who's out there reporting, has their sources. I'm just telling you what my information is, that currently it's been determined that he has a compression fracture. He's going to be shut down for the season, and he has had back problems for several weeks now, and they've decided that he was okay to play on it because you couldn't hurt it anymore, and it's just a matter of dealing with the pain. Okay. So that's a basically in a nutshell as far as what I have determined. Now, I found this out, this compression factor news I found out last night as I left the show. And I have since been trying to contact a lot of people to verify whether that in fact is the truth. That's the way I choose to report. This morning I talked to somebody who also verified it. But I have no information that the Eagles were withholding anything from the player, or that the player didn't know about it, or the doctors didn't tell the Eagles. It's to me, that part of it seems illogical. So, bottom line is, the Eagles will continue the rest of the season without Carson Wentz. And I guess the only issue now, and because I've heard people say it, is that, is this an injury-prone quarterback? I don't believe that to be the case. I believe that all quarterbacks are injury prone. I believe that all quarterbacks take their share of hits and they get banged up all the time. And so with the injuries that Carson Wentz has had in his career, I think it's just a byproduct of being a quarterback. And I don't think that he's injury prone. He's a stout, hardy athlete. So to me, that's not a frail guy that would prevent you from moving forward for a longer term commitment. And that's really what people are looking at now. Do the Eagles commit to a guy who's been injured, who's missed games now in his first three seasons? I say yes. I say you have no choice. You can't start playing guessing games that, okay, this guy we've determined is now going to be an unhealthy quarterback for his career. So we're not then going to hitch our wagon to him. That, to me, that's foolish thinking. You drafted him to be a franchise quarterback. And just like the Joel Embiid thing, you live with this and hopes for the better side that comes up. Tyrone, you heard the stuff that was going on today. A very, very hot topic, hot button issues. Your thoughts?
I'll address the last thing you said first. I agree with you. Guys get hurt. I believe if the circumstances were different, perhaps he would still be playing. That's just me reading the tea leaves from what you said and what you've reported and what other people have reported. If they actually thought they were going to make the playoffs, I think he would still suck it up like he's been doing. I think at this point they realize that it's over once they lost to the Cowboys, and it's not prudent to play him. So I don't think he's injury prone, and I still think he's a franchise guy. As far as the I don't like how the Eagles have handled injuries this year, period. But I don't know if they've done anything quote unquote wrong. But
We'll zero in on this injury here. Maybe it wasn't diagnosed as a compression fracture when he was complaining about back pain. Let's play with that for a second. Why would you report that he has injuries anyway? I'm trying to put myself in the team spot. You don't want to give anybody any kind of advantage. If you would be, okay, we found out he has a compression fracture, but we're going to play on it. Like, how does that help the Eagles?
It doesn't help the Eagles. It actually could hurt the Eagles.
So you can see where they might not have been forthcoming in reporting if that were the case about an injury that he was want to continue to play on. They just wouldn't tell anybody, and he's just sucking it up.
Right, and I believe he was hurt, and I believe he was sucking it up. I saw a stat today that he, since the first time he showed up on the injury report with a back, with back spasms, he's rushed the ball 22 times for 35 yards. So obviously, you know, that's not very much. And before that, he was over 5 yards a carry pre that injury.
Yeah.
So clearly he was hobbled and sucking it up, and that actually makes me, and he never complained, not that he should get a cookie for it, I'm just saying he never complained. So the people out there who were calling him faults and on social media and stuff like that, I don't think that's the case. This was a guy who was trying to will a team to the playoffs.
He was trying to play with some kind of problem in his back. You know, if you're the Eagles and he does have a compression fracture, you couch it as back spasms, because to me, back spasms really are something that goes away quickly. That's an indication that there's something else wrong. Like, back spasms, I don't even know if I would put it on an injury report, but they had to do something. Then maybe that they thought that was the easiest way to explain what was going on without revealing that maybe he had a fracture. Possible. I don't know whether the fracture happened a while ago or whether it happened just now. And to me, it really doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter. The bottom line is that whatever happened Sunday exacerbated the situation where the pain was too intense to play, and the doctors figured it out. Okay, we can't play him anymore.
Yeah, and I saw a video. He's at practice today. They show video of him jogging around, and he looks gimpy. Now, that doesn't mean that.
And he looked gimpy in the game Sunday. He did. Now, again, we're talking about. I've heard people talk about it. Well, then why would you run him on an option keeper? Well, I don't know why you would do that. I assume that if you're a coach and the guy's healthy enough to play and he's sucking it up with the pain, that you don't take the time to think about, oh, I can't run this particular play here because he's injured. You call the plays as if a guy is healthy because you get caught up in it. You don't have time to think to that level. So I know a lot of people say, well, why would you do that? And you're right. You probably wouldn't do it, but maybe you don't have time to think about it. And maybe you're conditioned that this guy's played over the last several weeks with this back issue. So what's the difference?
Yeah, but I think if that's a play that you take out of the playbook completely when you do your packages that week. And I think that's a flaw in Doug, but Doug's had a lot of play calling snafus all season long. I don't think he was looking to get the guy more hurt. I just think he made a mistake, like he's made a lot of play calling mistakes.
It's possible. But it is also possible that this compression fracture was not diagnosed until after the game, and he thought that just, you know, that his back pain was his back pain. He's been playing on it, so what's the difference? That he didn't know that he had a compression fracture, and that was only revealed until after this game when they took further tests. That is very possible.
It is, because he's a tough guy. Maybe he wasn't telling them how much pain he was in.
I don't know that the compression fracture happened several weeks ago. I know it happened. It's been diagnosed now. But what my instincts are that if you've got back pain, that they go and test everything to figure out where the back pain is coming from. Like, they just wouldn't test. They wouldn't not do an MRI. They wouldn't not do a CAT scan when the original complaint happens. So that's the only thing that I question at this point. All right, so we'll talk about it. 610-632-0975. We'll also talk about the Sixers as they lose again to the Brooklyn Nets last night. But, of course, they were down a couple of players, so I don't really take too much stock into that. I don't know what I'm really supposed to say about that game. They have problems with these teams that set up 1-4 and dribble penetrate and kick back out. I don't understand. Their backcourt defense is terrible.
Horrendous.
It really is. So they're gonna have to fix that. I mean, you watched that game last night, you know they're short. When they have to start guys from the bench on their starting team, that lessens a bench that they already don't have. So they're gonna have to replenish something. 610-622-0975. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. It's live right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, you're not going to do this right out of the chute, are you?
It's all cold down along the beach.
It's all cold down along the beach.
The wind whipping down the mohawk.
Hey, man!
Hey, man!
Oh, no. You're doing this to me right away?
I didn't do this.
What? What? Huh? Christmas. Oh, Christmas time. All right.
You guys are.
Stop it, man. Why are you doing this to me? All right, 2 o'clock hours brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin equipment and parts and supplies for every heating and cooling job. This is their new location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia. Let's start the Twitter poll for today. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons from Robotic Lawnmowers and Zero Turn Conventional Riding Mowers. If it goes in your shed, Moyer's got it. Need parts or service? They've got you covered. Miss Natalie Eganoff from Scandinavia.
Yes, here I am.
What's going on?
Here I am. Today's poll, with this new information regarding Carson Wentz's back, do you want to see him take the field again? 9% say yes. 91% resounding no.
Okay, there we go. All right, listen, let me make one thing clear here. I am not on this show today. I don't know that Martinez's information isn't true. Okay, and I'm not here to denigrate his information. I respect that he has sources, and he trusts those sources on what they told him. I am here to tell you that I'm only here to speak for my information. And my information is that he has been bothered by this back issue, that it has been diagnosed as a compression fracture, and that he's out for the rest of the season. But at the time he was going through these back issues, they decided, and he decided, they were well enough to play, and he decided he was well enough to suck it up and play. All right, that's my information. In no way is my information uncovered that the information was withheld from the team, from the player, or whatever. Okay? So let's just make that clear. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Herschel in Oxford. Herschel, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Herschel?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. I had a quick Sixers point and the Wentz situation I wanted to talk about. I'll start with that.
Go ahead.
For the Wentz situation, I can't say that I'm surprised. I mean, I'm not a Folesian guy, and I'm not saying I'd rather have Nick Foles out there. But from the beginning of the season, Carson Wentz kind of came back. He came back early. They said he's all ready to go. But he hasn't looked 100%.
I would agree with that. I think that he hasn't looked 100% in certain areas of his game that we were used to seeing before.
Now, he is better than Foles, but I'd much rather have Carson, like, get fully healthy and maybe wait a couple more months, like wait one or two more months and have him for six seasons, as opposed to have him right now at, like, 40% and not give you the productivity that he did, say, last season.
Well, obviously, they've ruled him out for the year. I mean, it's an untenable situation now to have him play. But at the time, listen, an injured quarterback's not 100%, who's a stud quarterback like Carson Wentz, just like any other quarterback, sucks it up and plays.
Right.
Right? So I'm not really sure what your point is here.
So I'm saying he's a franchise quarterback. If you just rested him for like a month or two more.
Yeah, but you didn't have the luxury to do that, Herschel. You didn't have the luxury to do that. You had to play your best quarterback because you had a season to worry about. You couldn't sit him for 2 months and then have a season go down the drain. You had to play with your best.
I agree with you, but now we have the repercussion of now he has a...
Well, then you have the repercussion, but you can't like try to outsmart yourself and say, let's keep him out for 2 months and we're still going to be good. You can't do that. You got to play your best.
Fair enough. Ah. Okay, and my Sixers point real quick is, well, based off last night, and even before that, I kind of agree with you in the sense that we need one more player. Now, I'm not really for Trevor Ariza. I think he's just kind of like a slightly upgraded version.
Well, he got traded to Lakers anyway, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, okay. Well, I didn't know that. But okay. So I wanted your opinion during free agency. Do you think we could get Kemba Walker during the All-Star weekend? And what do you think? Do you think he would be like a good addition, or do you think he's more of like a ball?
He's got to have the ball in his hand, so they're not going to. They probably would not be interested in Kemba Walker. Mitch in Phoenix, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mitch.
Yeah, I just heard you say Ariza got traded to L.A. Who did L.A. give up?
I don't know. That trade's in the works. It's going to happen. Has it come down finally yet?
It can't happen until Saturday.
But apparently it's set in stone.
Yeah, so the Sixers wanted Ariza. The rumor is they're in a three-way team. But we don't get the guy we wanted. We get some other guy. And that seems to be the history of the Sixers lately.
Like who? What other guy are you talking about?
They're going to end up, I guess, with that Pope guy if they trade Markel.
Oh, okay. So, if it doesn't happen, you said their history lately. What do you mean by that?
In other words, whatever's rumored out there that the Sixers want whoever, they don't seem to get whoever.
Like whom are we talking about?
Well, for instance, they wanted Ariza.
Who said they wanted Ariza? I'm the one that suggested they should get Ariza. Who said they wanted Ariza?
Well, anything that you read, the rumor is, and I'll just quote the rumor, that if they can trade Markel, they were going to get in a three-way deal with the Lakers.
Where did you read this?
I've been reading it for the last three, 4 days.
Yeah, well, I haven't read that. So you have information that I haven't had. The Lakers wanted Ariza. They wanted Ariza because he's an L.A. guy and he's a veteran presence, and LeBron wanted him. So I didn't hear of any three-way deals.
All right, let's move on to Wentz. Okay. You got back problems. I have back problems. We both know that a compression fracture, the best thing for that particular
rest
is rest.
Yes.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
So it's a no-brainer.
But if you're an NFL football player, you don't think about that at the time. You think about playing on it. Like Tony Romo played on it.
Well, it's a no-brainer with three games left in the year.
Mitch is starting to irritate me. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
I don't know why. He used to be a caller I'd like talking to. Now he's saying he irritated me.
There's addressing his first point, because, yes, he's very irritating.
Yes.
There's a rumor out there that if Caldwell Pope was to waive his no trade, the Sixers would be part of the three-team deal to get him.
Okay.
To upgrade their bench.
But not Ariza.
No, they would not. Okay. Ariza would end up in L.A., and then Caldwell Pope would end up here, which would actually help them some because they don't have
bottom line
else.
Is, like, you know, they're not going to get the player that they really want. Well, sometimes it doesn't happen that way, but you get a player that can help. As long as they get a player that helps, I'm good. I'm not married to Trevor Ariza. I brought him up because he checks off a lot of boxes that they seem to need to coming off the bench. Now, Caldwell Pope checks off a few boxes. He didn't check off as many as a reason for me, but it's still an improvement to what you have. That's the only thing you can ask the Sixers to do.
And they did very recently get Jimmy Butler. That was a significant addition.
Yeah, they did. I hate these people that get, they just want to be miserable. Oh, the teams never do this. The teams never do that. Well, wait, hold on. They may. Brandon in Northeast Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brandon.
What's up, everybody?
What's going on, Brandon?
So, I try to put myself in Jeffrey Lurie's shoes, being the president of the Eagles.
Yep.
You're going to have to let one of these guys go. He's either going to be Wentz for being injury prone or Doug for not being smart enough to know how to adjust on the fly as a head coach.
Like, well, you're not going to get rid of the player. That's for sure.
I don't want to get rid of the player.
Yeah, think about if you got rid of the player and you didn't sign him. Then you should have to start all over again with another 5-6 year plan.
Yep.
Can't do that.
And I hope he don't. But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. As long as Doug doesn't learn how to adjust, Wentz is going to keep getting hurt. And I say that because it took, you remember 4 weeks ago when they said the players were telling him he needed to run the ball more? For two games, he ran the ball with Josh Adams, and we won.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went right back to not running the ball again. And then the guy cuts Carter for Sproles, and then don't use Sproles in the game against Dallas at all. So it's like, you got a guy that you don't use, and you cut a guy that you could have used. And he's going to get Wentz killed out there because he doesn't know how to adjust.
Well, I don't know if you're connecting the right dots here. Like, how should he adjust to not get Wentz killed? By running the football?
By running the ball, you mess with the defense head a little bit.
Yeah, and do you think that their running game was, did you have enough trust in who they have running the football to do that?
Yes, because we won the games to get, I mean,
I'm asking like with your own eyes. Did you trust the players that you have?
Yes, Josh Adams didn't show me anything. Mm-hmm. He didn't show me anything wrong when he ran the ball.
Okay.
He's a very effective guy.
All right. That's fair enough. You thought Josh Adams showed you enough. That's why I asked and you answered. Now, I can tell you that they don't seem to fully trust Josh Adams. I don't know why. They see him more in practice. One open line, 610-622-0975. Bob and Del Ran. What's up, Bobby? Yo, Bob.
Hello,
Bob.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good, Bob.
Hey, I have a question. It's more of a fantasy football.
Bob, you're a little muffled here. Can you speak right into the microphone there? You're a little muffaletta you got going.
Okay, how's it?
All right, go ahead.
Can you hear me better?
Yes, that's better.
I had a quick fantasy football update. I wanted to get roster advice. Two quick questions. I have Winston and Watson.
Well, wait. Our fantasy doesn't happen until 4 o'clock.
Oh, I thought sometimes you call, get your question in,
you got to get the question in, like, email and Twitter. I can't, like, we're not doing it live until 4 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
All right. Jesus. That's that. How was that call not screened?
Because he told him he wants to talk to
you. He did?
Yeah.
All right. He had a fantasy football question. Eric Calabro joins us at 4 o'clock. Come on. Let's get on with the schedule here. Let's go to Dave in Holmesburg. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hi, Mike. How you doing,
buddy? What's up, Dave?
Listen, first couple of things here. I got to apologize to you for yesterday. I didn't mean to spit that word in at the end.
No, I know. Sometimes you get carried away.
You S-worded us. Dope award,
yeah, I hear you.
Eagles and six.
All right. Yeah, can't go S-word.
Nah, but you know what? I don't know what to think with Wentz and Eagles this year. You know, he looked pretty good against the Redskins the week before, getting out of the pocket. But I don't know what to think anymore. But I kind of feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, well, listen, quarterbacks get banged up. It's just the nature of the beast. That doesn't mean he's injury prone. There's not a quarterback out there that stays completely healthy.
I agree. He looks like he was a little scared at times, too.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if he's had a back issue and he's had pain, nerve pain, compression fracture, whatever it was that was causing the issue, and he's gotten it out, I mean, it kind of makes sense. It's like his lack of bounce that I called it last week. He just didn't have a bounce.
I agree with you 100%. One more thing, Mike.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to beat a dead horse. I want to go back to that overtime against Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying yesterday, well, if your defense can't stop, they don't deserve to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if there's a kickoff and the guy runs it all the way back or runs it back 90 yards? And that's not the defense's fault. You know what I mean?
No, it's the special team's fault.
I want him to get one chance in overtime.
It's the special team's fault that allows a 90-yard touchdown. It's somebody's fault, bro.
You
have the ability, even though you lost the toss, it's not like you have your handcuffs on. You still have the ability to get the ball back somehow. Like, I don't understand it. Win the call, it's unfair. Win the coin toss, it's automatic touchdown. No, it's not an automatic touchdown. You have to get the ball down the field to get a touchdown. That means the defense can stop you. But I put the Missinelli plan out there. All I can do is put out the plan. If the NFL suits want to call me up to New York, I'll lay it out for them. You go by total yards. Which team? You have a panel of three. All right, I have all this statistical data, but I'm also with your eyeballs. I want you to determine 2 and 3, who's got the better, who played the better game. That's who gets the ball kicked off to them. Boom. End of coin toss. End of bitching and moaning that you didn't win the coin toss since your defense is so feeble they can't stop a team that wins the coin toss.
This is better than a coin toss. The coin toss is antiquated, so it's time to move on.
Whatever.
The coin toss is antiquated.
But this notion, because the Eagles lost the coin, oh my God, the Eagles lost the coin toss? That's a terrible thing. They were helpless because they lost the coin toss. The other team actually had to start their drive at the 25-yard line. It's amazing.
So I agree with you. The Eagles lost because the Eagles lost.
Exactly. Howard, Newtown Square, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Howard.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's going on, Howard?
Not much, man. Calling to talk to Sixers.
Yes, sir.
Sure. We need a few pieces for the Sixers. Two-way players. I can come in to help the squad when we are kind of up. But for now, we still can compete with the elite teams like Toronto, Boston, and the Golden State Warriors.
I agree 100%. Listen, if they lost to Toronto, I said, listen, they need to make a deal. They need to add at least one more piece, probably two more pieces to get to that level. You saw it last night. Their bench is feeble, and they had to start a guy from their bench last night. And I know, I was getting the tweets.
And another point I have to make, Mike, before you cut me off, point I have to make is sometimes I look at Brett Brown play calling. It's so horrible because you have played the Nets three different times. You have to figure out how to stop the guys. You can't allow a guy to keep going off on you guys three different times.
Well, I agree with you, but when you don't have really good defensive guards, that exposes the Sixers' defense. And when you have J.J. Redick playing as many minutes as he played, and T.J. McConnell, God love his little Pittsburgh heart. He plays hard. He's gritty. But he kills you on defense. He got his ass kicked by Dinwiddie last night, didn't he?
Right.
All right. Well, you got to play him that many minutes. Like I've been telling people, he's a five and dimer, as Bill Raftery would say. Either five to 10 minutes you play him.
Sure.
All right, brother.
All right.
You got it. Korkmaz had to play 35 minutes last night. Redick played 37. Simmons played 35. Now Simmons is a good defender, a smaller guy like Dinwiddie probably is going to be able to penetrate. TJ played 29 minutes last night. That's a lot of minutes for TJ McConnell. All right, you play 29 minutes and your guy scores almost 40. And that was their bench last night. It was Amir Johnson, Landry Shamet. It was now, like, turned out to be very average.
Yeah, well, he had
and
all
McConnell
his
points. And Shake Milton played garbage minutes. So they had three guys, really. Two guys come off the bench. And Amir Johnson only played 8 minutes.
Yeah, and what you call it, All 10 of Shannon's points were in the last 40 seconds. He was scoreless when the game mattered.
Yes.
He scored 10, which was great,
outmanned last night when you're talking about only two guys coming off your bench and your starters had to play all those minutes, and you don't have great defenders on that starting lineup, especially on the perimeter, with Redick and Korkmaz having to play that many minutes.
Yeah, it was trouble.
All right, let's go Adam and Chalfant. Adam, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Adam.
Hey, team, what's up?
What's going on, Adam? How you doing?
I'm doing good, good. First off, Josh Adams has not proved that he can take 25 carries a game, getting 3.5, 4 yards a carry.
No, I agree, and this is where the coaching staff knows better than we do because they see him frequently, you know?
Absolutely.
They don't trust him to that extent.
He shows flashes, but not...
Yeah, he does show flashes, but you got to have trust. The coaching staff has to trust you. So if the offensive coaches aren't trusting him to give him the ball consistently, then you know that's on them.
Absolutely. And I mean, but to get to my point, this is the thing. We can talk about the players making mistakes and the injuries, and I know that, but I want to talk about is the play calling. James Schwartz was totally outcoached that game. I remember one time he does choose the blitz. They run the perfect draw counter play right up the middle. I know you remember what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Then in the fourth quarter, you're running cover one when you have corners that are susceptible to being deep. And you're running cover one with only one safety deep, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the time that you choose to press. The whole game, he backs up. But
you're talking about that play that Cooper beat the corner on, and then because Corey Graham came over late. That's the play you're talking about, right?
Thing is this. Also, on third and goal, mm-hmm. you run the speed option to the right. That's not your... I understand if you run that play all year long and it works and it's bread and butter, I get it, right? But when you're in that situation, they haven't run that successfully all year long.
Yeah, it was a very odd call, that option keeper. Very odd.
And the last one I want to hit you with is this, and I know you know the play I'm talking about. It was the last time they had a chance to score a touchdown. They were in shotgun, and they ran that same exact play they ran in the Super Bowl where they tried to run the slant to Ertz, and mm-hmm. the defender was there. Yeah. Now, pre-snap, I knew that was the play they're going to run, and I'm not paid millions of dollars. And I'm sure you knew it, too.
Yeah.
And the defenders knew it because they had three guys over there.
Yes, they did.
For R2.
Yep.
So why does Wentz even decide to throw the ball there?
I don't know. He has been out of sync in a lot of areas as far as reading the field this year. And, I don't overreact to it to say, oh, he's not the franchise quarterback we thought he was. I chalk it off to he's had a rough time coming back from this injury. He just has. He just doesn't look as confident in his abilities because physically he's not as confident in his abilities. That's what I'm going to write it off to. But if you're going to ask me, am I going to commit to him for the long term? You're absolutely. I'm going to commit to him long term. He's the franchise quarterback. All the intelligence went into it when they picked him. You're not going to give up on it now. All right. Two open lines. Good time to get in. 610-632-0975. Carabel coming up at 4 o'clock today. At 3 o'clock, we'll talk to Mike Garofalo from the NFL Network. That's right.
Yes, indeed. NFL Network. And
so he'll shed some light on this Wentz situation.
Yeah, he has his own reporting. We'll let him say what he has on his mind.
Sounds good. We're back after this. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Fanatic. 246, Mike Missanelli show. You're going to play the rest of the year. Your backup quarterback, which a lot of people will like, because you know what's going to happen. You know sure shooting what's going to happen. I mean, I could be like Rip Van Winkle, fall asleep, and wake up Monday, and you're going to be talking about an Eagles win, how Nick Foles engineered it over the Rams. You know what's going to happen, Tyrone.
Oh,
I'm not even worried about it.
My God.
Seriously.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even worried about it. And the best quarterback in Philadelphia Eagles history, according to Nat, will live on.
Yeah, I'm.
Why do you have to bring that up?
Well, you did say that, Nat. Now,
I was in a different context.
I'm obviously going to go on, you know, my Rush Street app.
Uh-huh.
I'm betting the Eagles heavy. I'm sure of it now.
Bet the money line while you're
out. That's what I'm betting the money line on the Eagles.
Money line?
On the Eagles, yeah. It's a lock now. There is no doubt in my mind that Nick Foles is going to win this game on Sunday.
What?
I'm sure of it.
You know, it's
I'm sure of
it. It's God playing tricks on people.
Did I miss something?
Like, God's up there going, I need to humor myself. What should I do? How about this? How about if I make Nick Foles beat the Rams?
Yep. Now.
He's got the long beard. Father. Like this.
I can't. I can't even deal with this.
The Folesian society is going to be so happy. We'll be happy. And on Monday, I mean.
We will?
Yes.
You won't.
I'll be very happy.
No, you won't, because then they're going to be calling for him forever.
No, they won't.
If he wins Sunday and the next two games.
Whoa. That's where you went too far. But he's going to win on Sunday.
Saying.
One game at a time.
It's a slippery slope.
It's a lock.
And sitting at the right hand is Jesus going, Father, don't do him like that. And God goes, have you read the Old Testament, son?
I can't.
I slayed fools. I can make Foles beat the Rams.
He's going to beat the Rams. Golden Tate is going to have over 100 yards. This is what's going to happen. They're only going to target Earth three times.
I made it rain locusts, yo. Do you think this is going to be a chore for me?
It's not a big deal.
I can't.
Oh, it's happening. Eagles are going to beat the Rams.
We just got there first.
They're going to beat the Rams.
He's definitely going to beat the Rams.
Beat the Rams.
I'm telling you, it's God. You know those old paintings, how he looks? All right, let's go to Mike in Westchester. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, Mike, what's going on,
what's
guys?
What's going on, Mike? How you doing?
Not too good, man. I feel pretty guilty. Uh-huh. And I was killing Wednesday after Sunday, man. Now I feel bad. Carson, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Well,
I didn't know what they did to you.
Yeah, listen, it may be a fresh injury based off of that game. He may have done it in that game. You never know. My information is that he has a compression fracture. That's all I can commit to. I don't know when it happened, but he's got it.
All right, well, I want to switch gears and give everybody listening a couple targets. You know, Deuce and Jeff Stout got to catch some slack.
No question about it. You're absolutely right.
This is like shield of invisibility. Everybody knows it when I bring it up, but no, you know, nobody else seems to be as mad as I am, especially now, man.
Deuce Daly's substitutions irritate me. They really do. They've irritated me for a while now.
Well,
I don't understand it.
How come nobody does anything?
I guess they trust them, but I think. And this is where a head coach has to come in and overrule people sometimes.
Well, that's where Mike Missanelli got to come in.
Mike Missanelli's just...
You got some strength, Mike.
They're not going to invite me to be a member of the staff. I can almost guarantee that.
All right, let's have some people call in and beat up on them a little bit. Make me feel better.
There's not a coach this year that you could say, let's praise this dude. You're not going to find that now. A team that's fledgling making the playoffs. Duke in Delaware. Good alliteration there. Go ahead, Duke.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Duke?
Hey, you got a nice staff there.
Thank you, Duke.
Congratulations.
I love your voice.
And you're handling the goods.
Uh-huh. This is like a schooled sports fan voice you're bringing to me. It's like a fine patina on like a brass vase.
I'm an Eagles fan almost 70 years.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, that's how you can tell that.
You get that
rustic type of voice.
I'm 87.
Oh, God bless you, Duke.
All right, now listen.
Yes.
You know why they didn't beat Dallas?
Why not?
On that fumble, on the first part of the play?
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah, that was the game. You're hinged on that, you're telling me?
Did you know where the line was?
The line on the game? Yeah, 3.5. Yes.
That's why... Uh-huh. They could have run that clock down and took the field goal, but that big guy up there, you can bet he's got millions on that game, and that's why they went for the touchdown. And they would have went for the touchdown no matter what.
Wait, you think God bet the game?
Huh?
What big guy up there?
Oh, you know, the big guy for Dallas.
Oh, Jerry Jones, you're saying?
Yeah.
You're saying Jerry Jones fixed the game so he can win a bet?
No, he didn't fix it. But he had a lot of money going. And you can bet they went for the touchdown instead of the field goal. They could have run the clock down to almost zero and kicked the field goal.
Yeah, but if you score a touchdown, you win the game. You're talking about in overtime?
I know, but they, but the Eagles wouldn't have had a time enough to run the ball.
Well, you but know? Still, you want to win the games and score a touchdown. It's not because you want the final score.
I understand that, but you know how much money was bet on that?
Yeah,
they needed to get the 6 points.
I got you, Dookie. I love guys like you.
I love him. Yeah. Anybody who's like 80 plus who calls us, they're so special.
It's like he's like a cedar pergola.
A what?
A cedar wood pergola.
Yeah,
where it starts off with the fresh wood, and as it ages, it gets a fine gray hue on it.
A pergola?
Yeah.
Or any kind of cedar wood that's outside.
Okay.
You don't know about a pergola?
No, I don't know
about a pergola. It goes in the backyard.
A teak picnic table. A teak picnic table goes from being brown and then it gets kind of a gray patina on it.
Wait, he's a...
Yeah.
That's what he is. That's Duke.
A picnic table?
Did you hear that voice? That
yes.
voice has a patina on it. I've been a football fan for 70 years.
Yeah.
And he's telling the truth.
Yeah. 70 years. And I'm telling you, when I went, that game, the big guy had a bet on it. I love guys like that.
And I believe him when he says, you know what? Maybe he's not closer. So crazy, dude.
No, he's closer than the rest of us.
I'm going to go back to my table now. I'm going to have a cup of coffee and a spaghetti. 610-632-0975. Mike Masinelli Show. Mike Garofalo, NFL Network. In 5 minutes, what does he have to report on the Wentz situation? We'll find out after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.